What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. This is the Deep Corner, episode 25. I'm Rob St. Clair, and a very special guest on the show today, outside hitter from the Chicago Icemen, Mr. Mark Jones. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Incredible mustache. Love that. Great VLA hoodie. Got to represent. Thanks a lot for hopping on, man. A lot of fun volleyball stuff I want to get to. First of all, how's the kind of lockdown treating you? Been able to play very much?
Yeah, it's actually going pretty well. So we've been able to get together with some of our friends to play some grass. Not a lot of beach courts are open right now, but it's been a lot of fun to get together, go outside, see people, you know, hang out, play. But outside of that, you know, with everything shut down right now, we're not really able to get anything else competitive together. So
yeah, it's been good. We'll take what we can get. It's when the indoor gyms open back up, it's going to be a celebration, man.
Right. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, me too. So I want to get back to the very, very beginning of your volleyball career and just kind of take it from there. First of all, what a lot of people don't know about you is that you were born in Japan, right? And then you moved to the Chicago Burbs. When did that happen? And then when did volleyball enter the picture?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was actually born in Japan and then I moved to California. So I lived in California for 6 years before moving to Chicago. Yeah. And then that was just because my father was in the Marine Corps and then we lived there out on the base. So when we came here to Chicago, I didn't start volleyball till freshman year of high school. So I've been playing for about 15 years now, almost 30. So 15, 16 years. Yeah. And so I guess, dude, it goes by fast. It's crazy. But in the beginning, I'll be completely honest, I was terrible at this sport. I remember Dad came to the first match and I was swimming in the net. It was so bad. I was like, yeah, I'm never going to another match ever again. So that was kind of like the downturn of it. But yeah, it was a ton of fun. I started off as a middle, grew from there. And Peter Dabrowski was also one of the guys that was with me the entire time. And
that's funny because I wanted to bring him up later, and Peter's already up in here getting name dropped because you played with him at every level, like for years and years, including with the Icemen.
Yeah, we've been playing together pretty much my entire career, mm-hmm. So it's awesome. It's cool knowing a guy for that long, and somebody like him is, and he's just such a talented guy. So it's been fun. But yeah, so I was absolutely terrible. I trained really hard, pretty much after my freshman year. My dad was just like, yeah, I'm never going to another volleyball game ever again. I want to go play club volleyball. And he's like, no, you're not allowed to go. You know, it's just going to be a waste of money. And I was like, well, how about if I make the team, you have to pay for it. So put pressure on him there.
Nice.
But yeah, dude, when I was a freshman in high school, I ended up doing doubles and triples by myself. Went down to like my elementary school, went down to the basketball courts, did like suicides and all that pretty much when I was growing up. And then my sophomore year, I ended up making varsity. So it was a cool little transition.
Wow.
And then I went to playing outside my sophomore year.
Okay. So, yeah. That's a heck of a glow up, man. And the position switch too, because you're what, about 6'5"? So you like, you could have played middle at a reasonably high level, but congrats on getting out of there. I tried to do that for years and it never worked.
Yeah, I had to get out of there, man.
Yeah, Peter knows that as well as anyone. So you ended up, like you said, having a very, very good high school career once you put in all that work. And by the time you're, you know, 17s and 18s years of club and high school are rolling around, you're getting to be a pretty highly rated recruit. Like, you're a Fab 50 from Volleyball Magazine, I think. And so that was a time where there was a lot of talent that was just starting to come out of Chicago. Like, people were really starting to figure out that the game existed at a high level outside just of the state of California. So you probably got a pretty good amount of calls, but you ended up going to George Mason, and so did Peter. So talk to me about your recruitment process and what made you choose to head to the East Coast.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a few schools that I was looking at and a few schools that were looking at me. Ball State, Lewis University. I was talking to Dan Friend for a little while there. I looked at Loyola for a little bit, but they weren't interested in me. They're, you know, they recruit height. So, and mm-hmm. they obviously had a great stint of years there. You know, Joe Smalzer went there. He was my year. A bunch of great guys. I had George Mason looking at me. I had St. Francis looking at me for a little bit out on the East Coast. And then I tried to talk to Penn State, but they didn't want me initially. I was too short. So I was actually 6'4". That's actually what I am.
Okay.
Like, height wise, I always said that I was 6'5".
Oh yeah, that's a roster height.
Nobody let me get away with it. Yeah,
no, you got to have that. You got to have the extra inch on the roster.
Yeah. It's on the volleyball roster. You're always 2 inches higher than you actually are. It's perfect.
Totally.
But ended up meeting Fred Chow at George Mason. Really great guy. Met him out on the West Coast. We went to Anaheim. when we had the tournament out there. I forget what it's officially called, but the Anaheim Convention Center.
Yeah, whatever that SCVA one is, where you play with the Mikasa ball. Yeah, that's a...
Yep. Yeah, so I met Fred Chow there. We had a great conversation. Oh, and I was talking to Ohio State for a little bit too with Pete Hansen when he was there.
Gotcha.
And ended up meeting both of them at that tournament, Pete Hansen and Fred Chow. Had a better conversation with Fred, and he actually offered me at that tournament to go to George Mason. I probably spent like a week muddling over, and then I accepted the offer. Wanted to kind of get out of the state, which was one of my biggest priorities. I want to get out of Illinois.
Okay.
Love George Mason in the fact that I knew some of the guys there. Like Kyle Grama was there already. Ryan Kwiatkowski, Ice, he was already there. And then I was a few other Chicago guys that were there, like Rucci. He was there before. And I didn't know him at the time, but it was nice to know that there were some guys that were from the Midwest that went out there. So it was a nice little thing. I actually didn't visit the school before accepting the offer,
really?
Too.
That's wild.
Yeah, I said yes like a week before I was supposed to go out.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
Obviously worked out pretty well. So your college career is really interesting. So you got there in your freshman year was 2010, is that right? And
2009.
Okay.
Well, I guess 2010 when the season started.
The 2010 season, yeah. Mm-hmm. First of all, what position did you play right away?
So I was recruited as a setter, and then they recruited another Puerto Rican setter. He was fantastic. His name's Javier. He's absolute stud. So when I got there, I made it to like the second practice, and then Fred's just like, just go hit. So I ended up turning back into an outside slash right side. And that was kind of my progression through my freshman year. And then my sophomore year is when Fred gave me the opportunity to be an opposite. And that's where pretty much I had most of my accolades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's first team all conference in the EIVA, playing on the right side. And you got back to that first team level your senior year, but for people wondering what happened junior year, when you were second team, you kind of flipped back to the setter spot, right? What were the circumstances surrounding that? Because you had, like, your online stats are funny because you had like a triple digit number of assists all of a sudden. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on there?
Yeah, it was a very interesting time. We had a few people leave the team. We also had a few injuries on their team, so. I mean, pretty much I played every position by the time that I was a sophomore, junior in college. So I just had the opportunity to go back to the setting position. Fred trusted me to do that, and that's what I did. So, I mean, I remember setting against Princeton. I started setting against USC as well. Then he switched me back to right side mid-game. It was a crazy experience.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. But it was definitely to support the team, just because we were struggling a little bit, obviously with some major components of our team out. You know, I had to fill some spots, so that's what I did.
Yeah, whatever it takes, and you've got the skill set to do just about all of them. And like, what position really haven't you played? But then by your senior year, it seems like it kind of all came together. It was interesting following, like, that was right when I was starting to like get into volleyball and like understand how like the collegiate scene worked, and I didn't really know even where George Mason was until like your senior year team. I think it was the first time I really remember George Mason being on the radar. And for a lot of people that are probably similar, that you know, that as far as like national contenders, it was the California schools, and then occasionally Ohio State, some of the Chicago's, and then Penn State, who like dominated over the EIVA forever. But George Mason actually, like, this season before it got canceled, was set to host the national championships. Like, that program is on the map now. Jay Hossecker deserves a lot of credit for that. But talk about, like, from when you got there till when you left George Mason, what, like, how the program developed, not just you and the guys, but how the program kind of put itself on the map.
Yeah, absolutely. The nice thing was we were able to have Fred Chow as our coach for all 4 years that I was there. So, you know, he brought us in, he was able to train us as freshmen, technically change us, and then see us kind of flourish as seniors. So I would say that the program grew a lot. I mean, we went from, I think it was a year or two after I left that George Mason won the EIVA. Mm-hmm. And those were all the guys that we saw as freshmen and sophomores as I was a senior. So it's like we were able to help them train and be still a part of that process. So, I mean, for them to take a program like that and to turn it around, I felt like, definitely before I went to George Mason, I didn't even know it until I met Fred Chow. And then being able to see them being such a prominent role, both for on the EIVA, because Penn State did dominate us. I will have to say I'm officially defeated against Penn State. I admit it. Unfortunate. But we we had a good run against them. But then, you know, being able to see George Mason just kind of step up and all the younger guys that we had there, you know, it was just part of the legacy. So I feel like they've been able to change their mindset with Jay as well. I feel like that's been a great change for them. Nothing against Fred. I think he was a fantastic coach. I think that Jay was just a great change of pace for George Mason and the guys that are there. So I think he brings a great perspective for them.
Yeah, that's a proud thing to be a part of. And by you personally, by the end of your college career, you added EIVA co-player of the year to your resume, which was funny. You shared it with this little guy named Aaron Russell, who nobody's ever heard of.
I don't think everybody's ever heard of him.
No, he hasn't been anywhere in the volleyball world. So
man. I thought you were gonna bring that up during this conversation. And I came with a few jokes, but honestly, it's either they gave it to me out of pity and they're just like, you know what, like, he's a senior, he's had like a really long run, and then Aaron Russell's just killing it. But it was nice to share honors with somebody like that. You know, the guy's just such a phenomenal player. He's a phenomenal dude, doing great things. So it's cool to be like, hey, I was in the EIVA co-player of the year with him.
With the guy who has an Olympic bronze medal now. Yeah, that's pretty sweet. And you guys had that caliber of season in kind of the same way, but for two different programs. Because like that was when Russell was there, it was like right as Penn State's dominance was starting to end, and he had to just take a lot of swings and kind of put that team on his back. And you statistically were nationally very, very high in like kills per set, kills total, hitting percentage, like all that stuff, because you were just a high volume scorer. And that was just so interesting to me, considering like you were recruited as a setter and you got to set a little bit in college, and you started as a middle all the way back in the day, and you know, you're get to the point, but end of your college career, EIVA co-player of the year, just like bombing balls in the pins. I've had a couple guys on the show who play both pins, and I like and I like kind of dissecting how people approach that thing differently. So let's get your take on it. When you're switching, probably not mid-match, but I don't know, mid-season in general, mindset and technical differences between outside hitter and opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start with outside. For me personally, when I go into the outside role, what was hard for me was jumping from opposite to outside. That was the hardest jump because you have to focus on passing. It's the most important piece. You know, if you can't pass as an outside, it doesn't matter how high your hitting percentage is. I mean, yes, you might get every single ball, but you're not helping the team at all. So I've always thought of myself as trying to be the strongest L2, even though I would play L1. Yeah. So as long as you're controlling the ball, you're controlling the tempo of the game. That's what was really hard to grasp. Being able to do that against all servers, you know, there are some amazing servers that, you know, going up against Aaron Russell. You know, they're bombing balls at you. And I felt as though, as an outside, if you can control that serve and let your middles do pretty much most of the work, I mean, you're in a strong position. So that was pretty much like the biggest thing, because outside of that, you know, as an opposite, all you do is just hit. You run, jump as high as possible, and you hit.
Yep.
That's what the men's game is. But also, it's very challenging being an opposite in a certain way where you are, in the men's game at that level, you are constantly beating up your body to be physically better than everybody.
That's true.
You know, there were nights where I just couldn't sleep because my arm hurt so much. You know, I take 65 swings in one match and be done. And then you'd have to play the next day. So I would definitely say that it was challenging as an opposite, knowing that you're going to get the majority of the balls and you had to get the kills.
Yeah.
You know, if you weren't carrying the team in that aspect, I mean, you weren't an opposite. You were no longer a point scorer. And you couldn't make up with it by passing better. You couldn't stay on the court by passing better.
True.
You know? So I think there was a different mentality. You really had to cut your teeth there as an opposite in order to stay there. Personally, if you're asking me which position I like more, I would definitely say outside, because there's more opportunities to do less things bad. So it's nice. You can compensate somewhere.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah, you made a good point about just doing your job, your position's job. And even then, you have, you know, just about all the volleyball skills that anyone could ask for. But the maturity of mindset to be able to switch back and forth is really impressive, because the demands of you as the teammate in that role are so different. And I'm of the belief that at the highest level, like the NCAA men's level and above, the opposite is like probably the most important position on the floor. Because like you were saying, he's the guy who just has to probably take 50 swings a match And if he doesn't hit 300, the team probably doesn't win. It's a hard job, just like being the volume scorer, getting like hitting against triple blocks, set from 20 feet off the net, like just, yeah, you know, doing what you can, finding a way to score points. It's very different from outside, and I've really been fascinated by people that can do both and how they approach that. So it's cool, yeah, to hear that from your perspective. And also,
that also doesn't include, I also want to take a note, because there's a lot of great opposites out there. That also doesn't include, you're pretty much facing every great outside as a right side, max jumping, and then your max jump serving. I mean, it adds up, you know, at the end of the day, you're pretty crashed.
Yeah, the toll on your body is a non-trivial part of it. Even when you're in college like that, you've really got to be physically ready to do that job at a high level, at an EIV, a co-player of the year level. You've your shoulders got to be ready, your knees have got to be ready. That's part of it.
Yeah, agreed.
So post college, this is what's really interesting about you. So like you're rolling along with a very good collegiate career. You, I'm sure, had the opportunity to pursue volleyball as like playing, or however you could have made volleyball your career in some way if you had wanted to. Your senior year's rolling around, talk me through what you're thinking about for your post-college future, just in with the sport and just in general.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did think about going overseas. You know, a lot of my friends were going over, a lot of guys that I've known from high school were going overseas to play. And you know, that was something, it was a dream that I thought about when I was in high school. You know, when I first started, I was like, man, it'd be so cool to just go over. You know, I remember watching all the great players in Poland, you know, Mariusz, you know, there was, I can't name all of them. I'm not very good at accents. but there were so many players that I just enjoyed watching that I thought it'd be awesome to be over there and compete against them, or maybe, you know, at least be over there and say that I was in the same area as them. By the end of my senior year, I was so tired of the sport. I put everything I could into it when I was, you know, at George Mason. I felt like I really stretched myself as a player, but also as a person, really trying to expand my skills to allow, you know, to help my team out, you know, try to win. And I think there were just too many matches where I just felt like I got burnt out. And by the end of it, I was just like, you know what, I think I'm going to step away. Ended up getting a coaching position, so I ended up going that way. One of the biggest decisions that I made was that, because I ended up getting an offer out in Germany that I wanted to take, but I didn't take because there was a coaching position near home, near my family, back where the people that I wanted to be around. And then also I just needed a break. You know, it was not fun at the end of it when I kind of pick up my arm, because I swung too many times. You know, it wasn't fun not being able to sleep at the end of the day too. So I felt like I put everything I could into it, and I felt like it was the right decision for me. Don't get me wrong, I missed it.
Yeah.
After about a year, I missed it, so I came back. And then being able to play as an adult and being able to just see the game differently at this age, it's been nice, because not only are you building relationships at the same time as playing at a high level, it becomes kind of like just relax. You're able to relax a little more. You're not so tense about winning. You're more involved with you're more involved with the people, and it's also nice, because at the end of the day, you realize that you're not just putting points on a scoreboard. You're making new friends. You know, a lot of those guys that I met right after college, you know, still really great friends with them, probably even better friends with them now than I was in college. So it's nice to be able to build that, and that's where I feel like the sport has taken me.
Yeah, okay, that's awesome insight, and it's so fascinating for a guy that got to the levels that you got to just take a step back for a little while, because it would be easy to, you know, continue to pursue it, go to Germany, continue to kind of run your body into the ground, and then from there, a little dog cameo with Oakley there, like that anything could have happened, good or bad, if you had gone overseas. And like I've talked to with people on the show before that have made the jump over to Europe, it is hard. It is a hard lifestyle, and if you're not ready for it physically, mentally, emotionally, being able to adjust to a culture on the other side of the world from your family, the whole thing, you might not have the best experience if you really are not prepared and like emotionally skilled to tackle the whole situation. So it's really impressive that you've been able to take a step back and then get back into it and kind of pick up right where you left off. Because I've seen you play these last several years, and you are still, like, if you wanted to go overseas right now, you could, let me tell you.
Appreciate that.
which is fascinating, and now that like we have the you know, the eventuality of maybe being able to do it for real in the U.S. with what we're trying to build here in this league. Guys like you who chose not to go overseas for one reason or another, or like came back, they were done after a couple years, but are still exceptionally good players. They can do it here. And you talked about the community, which is such a huge part of it. And I definitely want to get to that a little bit later.
Absolutely.
I just love
it. That's actually what I'm the most excited about, that, you know, being able to start a league up here in the States. You know, obviously I don't regret it. But I think it was definitely a missed opportunity not being able to play at a professional level. But being able to face these guys now, you know, at the age that I am, almost 30, it's great because now I get to be a part of that, but we get to grow it here rather than continuously growing it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, now these kids that are growing up and, you know, maybe a future me that was young, you know, I was looking up and I was like, oh man, all I see are women volleyball players. Now you get to see these guys that are just phenomenal. They're playing at a high level, but also they're really cool people. You know, you get to see both sides of that and you get to say, hey, I want to be like you. So I'm really excited for what, you know, these next few steps are going to take for us.
That is the best part about like some of the events that we've been at the past several years, is that like all these junior players are 5 feet away from you guys when you're ripping like 60 yeah. mile an hour jump serves. And like just
all the other guys.
Yeah. Get out of here. So, yeah. The proximity of like being able to like feel it in real life and getting to know the people is so cool. And like you said, there could be a 14-year-old Mark Jones that sees, I don't know, Andriy Diatchkov hammer a ball out of the back row and fall in love with the sport. Who knows how many careers we might be able to create because of what you guys are doing out there. So that's like the best thing about what we're trying to create. And there's a lot, plenty more to say about that. And everybody that's involved is just so amazing at what they've been doing to help grow the game. So I wanted to talk about your kind of foray into the sand volleyball world a little bit too. I just had Tomas on the show and he's got some sand volleyball chops. I've had Bruno, who's been playing on AVP. But as I know way less about sand than I do about indoor, and that's why I'm kind of really interested in it. So when you took your few years off after college and you've been starting to get back into it more recently, talk to me about splitting your like time and resources volleyball wise between sand and indoor, like the mental approaches, the physical differences, the travel, just everything about how it's different. Cause a lot of people that might be listening to this don't know very much about like playing AVP qualifiers and stuff like that.
Yeah. So unfortunately I haven't competed in an AVP qualifier, Chicago AVP last year. We didn't have enough courts there. That's who I was.
Gotcha.
So I was actually going to compete with Matt Baleko, who played at Loyola. Fantastic guy, lefty, you know, I wish I was a lefty my entire life. But I would say that last year was my only experience really bouncing back between indoor and beach. You know, so many other guys have way more experience than I do in that area. But for the year that I took it very seriously, both indoor and beach, last year, it was very difficult. You know, there were tournaments where, you know, I would go compete, in a beach tournament all day for, you know, 10, 11 hours. And then the next day I'd be playing indoor. So I would say definitely the biggest challenge with that was both my nutrition, my workouts, but also just mentally. I would say that mentally it was difficult to transition because there are different tactics and skills that you had to use in each one. And you're looking for different pieces on at least a competitive standpoint when you're trying to beat the team. You know, as a beach player, I was constantly as a blocker watching individuals approach the ball, watching how they were swinging, watching where they were snapping, trying to see where their eyes were looking, if I can see their eyes. And then just trying to dive in or make those in the moment decisions against one player. Whereas when you transition back to indoor, now you have several guys, you have four or five guys attacking at you. You have to be able to take a look and you really have to take more of a big picture approach rather than being very detailed and specific. So I could no longer narrow down. And that was hard. It's hard to bounce back and forth between seeing the big picture and then being very specific in just, you know, half a day. So I felt like for me, that was probably the biggest challenge. But it also, I would say the positive thing for me was I was able to kind of navigate my own personality, but also my gameplay a little bit more. And that was actually the fun part, because as a beach player, if you're messing up, you're 50% of the problem. You know, it's you and your teammate. And as a blocker, you're pretty much trying to funnel. You're trying to take space at the net. So that's even more of a prominent role. And then when I went back into indoor, it's like I kind of hide behind people. I can hide behind talent, more talented people than myself, which is great. But it made me take a very introspective look and just say, hey, like, what can I make better? And then when I took that to the indoor game, I realized I was able to expand on different things. I was able to provide a little bit more. You know, being able to read somebody is completely different on the beach than indoor, but it's pretty much the same thing. If you could take a look at, you know, the game indoors, hit really high and hard. Well, if I can read where you're going to hit really high and hard, I can at least put my body there and get hit by it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a nice little change of pace for me. And I felt like I learned a lot.
Yeah, that's a great look behind the scenes. It's very, very high level stuff. Volleyball is so, it's like, in addition to being fast and extremely athletically demanding, it's so technical and thoughtful and like demands a really high level of mental game and awareness. And like you were saying, ability to read people. I think that's, I'm excited to put more volleyball in front of like the non-season volleyball viewer, because when people start to realize how good you guys are at thinking about the game in the moment, as well as how athletic you all are, I think it's going to be such an attractive sport. And I love how you just broke that down to kind of give people a look inside what's going on in someone's head. You know, trying
a lot going on
there. It's not as simple as jump high and bang the ball hard all the time. There's a lot more to it than that.
Yes.
So yeah, thank you for that. The people appreciate it. So I want to talk about Iceman, and it's kind of the Chicago scene. But first, you have to enter the gauntlet of these like rapid fire questions that I've been hitting people with all lately. Right. So
that sounds good.
So I'm just gonna give you the quick question. Give me, you know, the first quick one or two word answer that pops in your head.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
All right. Early mornings or late nights?
Early mornings.
Best pregame warm-up song or artist?
Oh, man. Dude. I have the Tiger.
Nice. Best day of the week?
Wednesday.
Nice. Really good answer. Stuff block or service ace?
Stuff block.
Okay. Yeah. Best post-game meal?
I would have to say chicken and rice.
Ooh, nice.
Man.
Nice.
Anything with rice.
Okay. What's the hardest position in volleyball, indoor?
Libero.
Great answer. I love that answer. What's your favorite jersey number?
11.
Okay. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Yeah, we already saw the dog in the video earlier.
You saw them pop.
Right, that was a no-brainer. Favorite sports team, any sport?
Chicago Bulls, because of Michael Jordan. I stuck with them.
Okay, and my next question, favorite athlete?
Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Yeah, MJ, it started.
Okay. I didn't even pick up on that.
That was the young MJ. My dad was a huge fan of Michael Jordan, so I just... Yeah, that was my thing.
Dude, hard not to be. The documentary, just amazing.
Right?
Oh, incredible. Anyway, ideal superpower, if you could have one.
Oh, man, teleportation.
That's been a really common one so far, and it's hard to disagree. Yeah. What sport are you the best at other than volleyball?
Ping pong.
Really?
Yeah, decent.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say it's the next sport after volleyball.
Okay. Yeah. Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
What's your favorite color?
Orange.
Ooh, nice. And what's stronger for you, loving winning or hating losing?
What's stronger for me? Like a stronger feeling?
Yeah.
Hating losing.
Okay.
I hate to lose. Yeah. I'm such a bad loser. Ask everybody that knows me, I'm such a bad loser.
I'm so interested by that question. I think people's answer to that question says a lot about who they are as an athlete. And Yeah, that's a good one. I should make a poll or like statistically analyze everybody's answers to that question on this show.
That's a good one though. I would say hating to lose has driven most of my career.
Yeah,
I just hate losing to people. For some reason, it just irks me. It irks me more than winning. I expect myself to win, and I never want to lose.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
The expectation is kind of a lot of that is if winning is the expectation and losing means failing to meet the expectation, then that really sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very hard life to live. And that's actually what made me move away from volleyball for a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, I still carry that personality, but I mean, just losing, it was a rough time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Let's talk about your Iceman squad.
Yeah.
A team that I've gotten to know really well over the past several years. Tim Faulkner's been on the show. He talked about the origin story, which is fascinating, like being the Iowa team from the PVL days.
Yeah.
But one thing that all of us that are in Chicago are intimately familiar with is how kind of the adult scene works, and that there are several like long-standing like men's kind of, I wouldn't say clubs, but these teams that have been playing together for several years, just in weekend tournaments and adult nationals and all this stuff. You've got like Great Lakes Lightning when that was a thing for PVL. You have Lights Out. You have Luau Chicago. You have a bunch of other ones, and there are like a core group of guys that have played with all these teams, and several who have overlapped across a few of them. But the Icemen, the VLA edition of the Icemen, pulls kind of the all-stars from all of those different like Chicago clubs that go back all these years. I'm really interested in that because like VLA wise, you're all competing together and you practice together. But on these weekend tournaments, you're playing against a lot of your Icemen teammates a lot of the time. What's that like? Like, break that part of the Chicago volleyball community is interesting. Break that down a little bit.
Yeah. Actually, I think that's probably the most fun part because you get to compete against guys that you get to play alongside. The fun thing is being able to challenge each other. You know, you get to see who's better, honestly. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if I get to face Kyle Overby on the other side of the net, I want to beat him.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, I love him, and he's a fantastic player, but I want to beat him. You know, if I get to play Dan Starkey, if I get to play Brandon, if I get to play Timmy, you know, I like playing on the same team as them because then I have to worry about them. But it's also a fun dynamic to do that. It's also nice to know that Icemen and the guys that are on the team, we're so involved in the community that there are so many different people that we play with outside of us that we're not a clique. We're people that like to enjoy the game and enjoy the community that we get to be a part of. That's the best part about it. So honestly, at the end of the day, I enjoy competing against them. I'd like to play with them so I don't have to compete against them. But I'm excited for the personalities and the people that are on that team because we definitely want to grow the sport, and they're all great people. And that's what I enjoy.
Totally. So what's a, like right before the pandemic hit, you guys were able to get in the gym at Timmy's school that he works at and practice at least once a week. What's a typical Iceman practice?
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll pretty much just go through our normal stuff, get warmed up, pretty much play, do some drills. You know, one of the things I've thought about is as I was trying to come back into play indoor at a high level. So I didn't start playing with Icemen again until last year. Prior to that was like 3 or 4 years before that when Timmy asked me to play with them, or 2 years or whatever it was. And I was trying to figure out what was the most beneficial thing to me. Did I need to be more technical, or did I need to be more more gameplay wise? Did I need, what experience did I need? And I find that what we do at Iceman practice is perfect. We're very high level. I feel very small in the gym. It is such a physical gym. I mean, these guys, I mean, they're touching 12 feet constantly, and you're attacking against that, you're playing against that. I mean, the angles get cut down so quickly, and then you're trying to hit balls away from somebody like Peter, like Kneetap. No chance.
Mean,
the guy digs everything. So it's like you're fighting against these guys that the options to get kills or the options to get points are reduced. And because of the skill, because of the gameplay that's going on, and we're competing in different environments, we're putting ourselves out of the system. We're having the setter set the ball 25 feet off the net. You know, they're putting up the ball, and then you're facing a triple block. You know, you've got Brandon pretty much, you know, chest, belly button high over the net. And then you're trying to hit around this guy. But it's those situations that in practice, we do that more. In gameplay, we put so much pressure on each other that pretty much a lot of it's out of system. We're trying to control the ball. We're trying to be high. We're trying to be aggressive. And we're not doing a lot of quantity. I would say that's probably one of the biggest things. We don't burn ourselves out with the amounts that we do. We burn ourselves out because we're so physical with every point that we do.
Big time quality over quantity practice approach. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's hard. After practice, I'm always exhausted. My legs hurt. You got to jump.
Yeah, seriously. Well, I mean, like, against the teams that you guys are going to be playing against, that's exactly what you're going to be seeing and what you need to be prepared for. So, like, Loy Ball, 6'8" setter that you have to hit against, like, all of Team LVC's middles are all 6'9". Like, these guys, the physical specimens in this league are pretty ridiculous. So it's, getting you guys in the gym against a Brandon Poindexter, pretty good preparation.
Yeah. And it's nice. And that's the exciting part is, you know, that you get to go face phenomenal athletes like those guys, you know, facing Loy Ball, facing Jeff Pitak, you know, Will Robbins, if he can get his back to work, which I'm pretty sure he does. I mean, the guy's a pretty fit guy.
Of course.
But But at the end of the day, you know, we're facing animals. You know, these guys are beasts.
Seriously.
So it's fun. It's definitely fun.
So there was you have an interesting connection with a couple of the guys from Team LVC because of George Mason. So like a Joe Norton, a Lance Rogers, and you've got Peter Dabrowski on the Iceman that played at Mason as well, of course. So there was a match last year. We were in Columbus, and you guys, the Iceman, played LVC in this absolute like 5-set barn burner, which was probably my favorite match that we saw last year. You guys were the only team to beat LVC at their full strength. That match was insane. You had Andrei Diachkov. You had the whole Ohio State crew on the LVC side. But there were a couple times when it was easy to notice some interactions between you and Lance and Joe on the other side. What's it like? What's it like playing at this level in this league and like that match in particular against your old college boys? Is that just awesome?
It was so much fun. I mean, you know, I went back to the service line and was staring straight at Joe, just waiting, finally letting him know I'm going to serve right at him. It's so much fun. I mean, to know those guys for so long and to know the skill that we've gotten to after where we've been. I mean, Lance has always been Lance. The guy is always going to be a giant wall. But, you know, it's fun because not only do you get to bring your past experiences back on the court and get to enjoy competing against each other, It's on such a stage that you're just like, you know, these are both phenomenal teams and you get to put your best out there. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's you're going to respect whoever you get to play. I mean, you're going to respect each other because you get to compete each other at that point.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Norton was one of my really good friends. I think he was pretty much my pepper partner every single time that we peppered my senior. He was there his junior year. And I mean, I love the guy. I love both him and Lance. So it was fun. And then having Peter there, too. So it's nice.
And the best part is like you go hard on the court, put a great product out there, and then go have a beer together after the match. Like that's what's so great about the community. So you said before we get you out here, you said a great thing earlier before we came on the air about what we're trying to do in building this league when we are finally able to go out and put matches back on the floor. We talked already a little bit about the example that you guys are setting as players, but it's cool that to see some of you guys have taken on a little bit more responsibility than just being players in a league, more so as being like agents and ambassadors of growing the game. Can you talk about that just a little bit more?
Yeah. So something that I feel like our league can do is, you know, we've got such great people. And I think that's what makes this such a great thing. They're amazing athletes, but they're amazing people.
Yeah.
You know, they want to make a difference. You know, Lloyd Ball is growing the sport. Will Robbins is growing the sport. You know, Tomas is growing the sport up in Milwaukee. You know, we have guys here, Timmy Faulkner, you know, he's teaching, he's coaching at a young level. It's all these guys that are inside this league. They're such phenomenal people that at least my hope is when younger kids get to see us compete on the court, you know, they get to be a part of it. They feel like they're part of a community at that young of age, seeing guys that, you know, have gone through thick and thin together, but also as individuals and to be able to progress themselves, you know, being a little kid and be able to look up and say, hey, there's so much more beyond this than just women's volleyball. There's men's volleyball. These guys are amazing. And then to be somebody that gets to grow the sport on my side, you know, something I look forward to is being able to have that impact for these guys, for these kids. And at the same time, we all have to stand together. I mean, you know, every single guy that's in this league, you know, we've got to stand together. It's going to be a fun time as long as we support each other. And I think it'll be a great situation if, you know, we can get some gameplay this year, even with everything that's going on, get together, compete with each other, compete against each other, know that we're all still working very hard towards the same goal, whether it be the best volleyball player that you can possibly be at this time or to continue to compete at a high level in this league with guys that, you know, continue to push you. So I feel like we're all going to be ambassadors as players, but also at the same time, you know, being able to just compete and enjoy the sport that we've grown up with. I feel like being able to exude that and let people watch us do that will spark something in them to allow for them to enjoy it. So I'm excited for that.
Well said, man. Well said. Like you talked about how this league is built of people who are just incredible. Like you can't sit here and tell me the world couldn't use 50 more Tim Faulkners out there. Like, and everybody, what's so cool?
We would
about
all
it,
have nobody to date if there were more Tim Faulkners. We would have everybody. All right, I'm still a single guy.
Awesome. Everybody has their spheres of volleyball influence too. Like everybody who's, you know, coaching or playing with other teams or like in their own cities and with their own like circles of volleyball and non-volleyball friends. Everybody loves so much and is passionate about what we're doing here to build this league, and we haven't even played a match yet, that once we start putting content out there, I have no doubt that it's going to get more and more eyes and more and more viewers, and then eventually more and more dollars to build a structure to make it a thing that a kid can make a career out of. So that's the goal, and people like Mark here and Timmy and all the other and Lloyd Ball and all the other names that we've dropped, all the people that I've had on the show are the backbone, and that's what it's all about. So when we can start playing matches, y'all are gonna know about it, and you should tune in because of guys like Mark here and all the names that we've talked about playing against him. You're not gonna want to miss it.
Yeah, come out and watch us. We'd love to have you.
That's right. So everyone, stay tuned. We're really hoping to figure out a plan to get some matches out in front of you all when it's safe to do so. So stay tuned to all our socials. Stay tuned to this show. Mark, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for bringing the dog in for a little cameo. Everyone's gonna love that.
Thank you.
And when we can get out on the court, you and the Iceman and all the guys have a lot to look forward to. So we can't wait.
Appreciate you having me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, buddy. Everyone else, thanks for joining us. We will see y'all next time.